We're joined by Carl, and to do a short interview of him. You'll see, you might have seen the flyers and the bulletins. We're going to hear Carl's testimony around the question of, can self-help really save? All we're going to do is we're going to record this as well, so if there are colleagues who you are hoping to bring along with you today and they have been able to make it, then the recording will be available online. You can share that with them. But also hopefully we are just really encouraged by what we hear about Carl's story, and hopefully gives us something, fuel for conversations with our colleagues as we go back to the office as well. So why don't I pray first for Carl, for Chaz, and then we'll hear. Lord, we thank you so much for the way in which you act and move to save us. And thank you that is entirely your work of grace in our lives. And thank you for stories of how it changes us and transforms us. And pray that we'd be really encouraged by what we hear from Carl now. And there'll be opportunities to talk about what we've heard with our colleagues after today. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Amen. Carl, thanks so much for joining us. You've come out of work today, so tell us first of all what it is you do for work, where have you come from, what we stepped away from to be here.
Yeah, of course. Hi, everyone. So I work in Oxford Circus, just down the road, and I work for a Christian organisation. We do Christian concerns, so we do public policy work, advocacy, have like a legal team, do some media stuff, support Christian education, and yeah, I do quite a few different things there, but I guess do some AI training with the organisation, getting us on board with using that technology. Also some speaking, some communications stuff, help to run some of the young adult training that we do for other Christians, so yeah.
Great. Thanks so much for coming along. We're just going to dive straight into hearing your story. And so my first question is just tell us a bit more about yourself, kind of starting from the beginning. Where did you grow up and what kind of world were you growing up in? How did that shape you, influence you from the very beginning?
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, I grew up in, born in South Africa, moved to the UK when I was about 4 years old. And, yeah, don't come from a Christian family. Parents aren't Christian, you know, sort of aren't Christian still to this day, unfortunately. And so just didn't have any, was kind of that generation, Gen Z, that I didn't have any Christian influence growing up at all. But, you know, I would say childhood was relatively normal up until probably about 7 years old. And unfortunately, I had a younger brother and he started getting headaches and thought everything was normal to start with and then ended up going to the hospital. And unfortunately, he got diagnosed with cancer. And then about 6 weeks later, I was in hospital saying my goodbyes to him. And, you know, that's obviously a lot for a seven-year-old to deal with. And basically, I saw my parents deal with that quite poorly in some ways, in terms of, you know, bless them, it's a really tragic situation to happen, but kind of wasn't really dealt with. And so I saw my parents confronting life by not dealing with it and escaping, and, you know, there was kind of drinking involved and stuff quite a lot. And so that kind of became my modus operandi. And so, you know, from a young age, I was all about kind of escapism, and that became my life, and that led me down some very, very dark paths later on.
Thanks for just being so honest straight away with us and sharing some of those difficulties. Tell us more about how you tried to cope with those difficult scenarios, difficult situations, what were some of those coping mechanisms and the hopes that you might have had for how to get through those difficult times or change those difficult times?
Yeah, so I think really like kind of I'm first generation Gen Z. I'm Gen Z by 15 days, so I'm kind of like a leader in all the different mistakes Gen Z is making. And so technology was really a massive one, and a really compulsive screen use, social media, gaming, that type of thing. I mean, you know, I didn't really go out much at all, but like I was kind of just isolating myself and escaping through those mediums. And so, I mean, that was probably the first thing that I would use to quell the pain and kind of just not deal with life really through that escapism. And that was carried out in quite an extreme way, but it probably wasn't until I was in my late teens that transitioned from kind of more, less destructive technology use to like drugs and alcohol. And that really immediately was addicted to those as soon as I started that path. Smoking weed every, basically, smoked like weed every day, drinking, and a lot, using all sorts of different drugs. And even though I kind of chose to make those choices, I was immediately like, this is not something I really want to be doing. but I was just immediately addicted and just couldn't quit. And so I tried a lot, but
And with those facing you, we've pitched the kind of question behind your interview, your story today, as can self-help really save us? So take a sec. How did you go into the self-help movement and has it saved you? What do you have to say about the self-help movement from that?
Yeah, so when I was about 20, I was in second term of university. So I'd kind of taken the gap year out prior to that. I'd cleaned up a lot of English too and went to Asia. And there was, I'd say that's really when some of the addictions got a lot worse. You know, I remember I was there for like 100 days and I was probably blackout drunk for 95 of them. Like really, you know, I mean, just getting onto all sorts of nonsense there really. And but when I was in university in my second term, I remember I just barely got in. Like, just having a thought about the work was just so consumed with this destructive lifestyle. And during this whole season I had always wanted to kind of escape from what I was doing, and so it was kind of loosely drawn to some personal development stuff, maybe some more like spiritual stuff, that type of thing. But then it was when I was about 19 in that university, 20 in that university year, that I really decided that, okay, I need to start doing something. And I kind of just went on YouTube and to try to find solutions like most Gen Z people do, and just wasn't confronted with anything Christian. So everything I saw was New Age, yoga, meditation, self-personal development, modern psychology, that type of thing, pop psychology. And I experienced some benefits. You know, the question is, can self-help save? Sorry. And the question is, you know, ultimately no. But at the same time, you know, there can be some relief provided by these things. If you are living a life that is so consumed with stimulus from all different angles, and you take 15 minutes out every day to focus on your breathing, you will feel better. And so I would say that self-help journey took me from like really terrible to like a 0 out of 10 to like a 2-3 out of 10. And so I took that as, okay, well if it got me from 0 to 3, it'll get me to 10. And kind of locked in on that worldview. And there was kind of superficial changes. There really was, and so kind of dropped out of university because I was like, I need to go on this quest to heal myself, to find my purpose in life, and that will kind of do me well in life. And yeah.
But there's a but at the end of that sentence. Yeah. So where has that led to you now? What was your experience kind of going all in on the self-help movement? Did it lead you to being saved from all those problems that you were facing?
No. So, yeah, so when I was about, probably this journey, really, the hardcore journey started from 20 to 25. And, you know, I spent thousands of hours. I was obsessed, like researching, applying thousands of pounds on all these different things. And, you know, from all these meditation retreats, one of them was 10 days of silence, meditating 10 hours a day, you know, no phone, no nothing, doing all these crazy psychedelic drugs that are becoming quite popular, mushrooms, DMT, that type of thing. Lots of psychology, kind of psychotherapeutic modalities, hypnotherapy, you know, waking up at 5 a.m. every day, cold showers, really diligent about nutrition, exercise. I mean, I really kind of exhausted these options. And 5 years down the line, I was, like, 5 years after starting this journey and investing all this time and money, I was a worse alcoholic than I was to begin with. I mean, I was, you know, drinking like a liter of whiskey a day, drink driving every night, picking up drugs. I mean, it was really just by myself. You know, really, really, incredibly dark season. And, yeah, and so I just couldn't really understand why I'm not changing. You know, I was like, okay, well, I've kind of identified this trauma happened and, you know, kind of tried to deal with that. And, you know, I had this conceptual framework for some of the issues and kind of knew all the tools, but my heart wasn't changing. Even though there were superficial changes, could do this better or do that better, like fundamentally my heart wasn't changing. Like the void was not going out. I just couldn't really understand why, because I was so bought into this paradigm that this is how you sort things out in life. And that's kind of what everyone around me was telling me. Yeah.
Which I imagine must have been a really confronting moment of, again, put all that time and energy in and sort of feeling like seeing that wall that there is something deeper going wrong that isn't changing. Where do you go after that? Where do you turn when actually, as you say, exhausted all those options and change isn't coming? Where did you go?
Yeah, so I believed in God during the season, so I was an atheist as a teenager, but you know, I had some quite powerful experiences on some drugs that convinced me that there's more to this life. And then, so but I was really into the New Age and Eastern philosophy, like reading all this different stuff, New Age, channeling, that type of thing. And so I thought I knew exactly what was going on. I thought, like, I've got this all figured out. And but then I had a mentor, actually, who was helping me with some stuff. And basically, he came to Christ. He became a Christian, and he wasn't to begin with. And I was like, okay, interesting. And he started talking about Jesus and the Bible. And I mean, I just had no experience of that. Didn't go to a Christian school, never went to church. I didn't know anything about God, the Trinity, the Bible. I just knew absolutely nothing. And so I was like, okay, cool. Generally thought this would be like another tool in the self-help arsenal. I was deemed myself to be quite spiritual, and I could just take a bit out, like kind of pick and choose the spiritual things that suited who I was. And yeah, and then I started reading the Bible for myself, and I mean, I had these kind of assumptions about who Jesus was quite loosely from picked up from wherever. But like all those assumptions were quite quickly shattered when I realised, how he was the perfect man. And, I'd say all the self-help stuff that I was encountering, there was a genuine desire to be a better person within that. And I was trying to not just make money, but also be more virtuous. And so I could see Jesus was like that side of it, perfected, and his character and whatnot. And yeah, and also just what the Bible says about sin. In the self-help industry and the personal development world, and it's kind of some modern psychotherapeutic modalities, the fundamental assumption is that you're a good person. You're fine, and there may be some bad things that you do, but you're at your core, you're good. And the Bible's analysis of human beings is that we're sinners, and we are rotten, although still made in the image of God. And so I was really convinced by that, because the more and more I was through therapy and looking at my own heart, I was seeing, this is not good, this is really not good. And so that was an accurate portrayal of human nature. And so that's when I really started the journey. So. Mm.
And as you were then, I guess, looking into what the Bible was saying, looking into Christianity, you said you started out thinking it'd be just another form of self-help, another way of just reading top tips how to live a better life. But you say so much that was about finding Jesus and his perfection. How is that a different experience, and how has that changed you to become persuaded that Jesus was a real person who lived and was perfect in the way that he lived, and that makes a difference for your life now? What exactly was it that you were finding and learning about Jesus that persuaded you?
I mean, probably a few things. I mean, for me, I was trying to be better morally within the self-help kind of sphere, and I was just seeing how impossible that was. Like, I was becoming worse. Like, I was becoming more morally awful, and just can't stress how terrible my heart got to at certain points. And so to see more the history of the Christian faith and its influence in the world, and how it's pioneered medicine, education, rights for women, children, like everything, it seems like all these moral improvements have just come exclusively from Christians mainly. And so that was convincing. I was like, right, okay, well, this is not just a fluke, this is supernatural, like that, nothing else can explain it. So for me, that was pretty convincing. But just general apologetic stuff. But I think just being changed as well, especially, since then. I mean, 2 months off, I mean, I was trying to quit these addictions I had, serious addictions, drinking late with for a while, and probably within 2 months of reading the Bible, I got sober, and I haven't touched the drink since or anything. And it's not just been, I've had a supernatural deliverance of these addictions, where I can be around alcohol and not have the thought enter my mind that this is something good. And I was a bad alcoholic, doing all sorts of drugs. So experientially, after thousands of hours of trying to solve these different problems and to have those sold in a pretty dramatic way. Like, I mean, that was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. But like this, I mean, there's so many different groups, but I'd say that that's a few.
Mm-hmm. I imagine one really key difference is self-help is a lot of a mindset and a movement of having the right mindset for life. The very key different thing that you can counter Christianity is a relationship with. And we've had this question of, can self-help really save? You've entered a relationship with the one, the person who has come to save you, the person of Jesus. What is life like now then, not just having a mindset change as you take on a very different way of viewing the world with a Christian perspective, but also how is life different in a relationship with Jesus for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's profoundly, it's just unbelievably different, really. And, you know, we believe as Christians that Jesus is perfect, and that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are perfect. They commune with one another, and you're being brought into that life that they share with each other. And so there's nothing, you know, I can say that, I mean, I've done so many different drugs and so many different combinations, 7 drugs at once, like different types, that type of thing. And nothing has ever come close to the joy that I've experienced. But, you know, the highest highs I've ever had, nothing comes close to the times I've had with Father, Son, Holy Spirit in prayer, and, you know, understanding that their love and who they are. So that relationship is everything, really. And, you know, like I said, the self-help stuff, it can take you from 0 to 3. You know, depending on your starting point, it can give you some things. There's not a whole industry for no reason. You know, they can provide something, but, you know, people have such low expectations of what is possible, I guess. So, you know, people in the self-help industry, they may be satisfied because they reached a 6 out of 10, but they don't realize that the scale is actually to 50, and you can experience that through, you know, God. And so, yeah, I couldn't really put into words how powerful that's been. And it's through that relationship that the change comes. And, you know, so the addictions are just one thing. I mean, I really was very, very selfish, very, you know, not good morally at all. And God has radically transformed. Like, I was very selfish, and now God has made me somebody who really genuinely cares about people and loves people. And so that's definitely not me, really.
Yeah, and that's just wonderful to hear. And so if someone was hearing your story either here today or listening on a recording or having an opportunity to talk about things you've shared today, where would you direct someone to go if they have a scepticism or a curiosity about all that you've been saying from your own story and experiences? If for you, if someone else talking to you about their faith, and you said sort of part of that was getting hold of the Bible and looking into what it says, where would you encourage someone to go with their curiosity or scepticism about the things you've shared?
I mean, first off, a local church, like an Alpha Course or Christianity Explored. I think you know, you need to meet with God's people, and I'd prioritise that over just reading the Bible by yourself. So definitely that, you know, and so that's the priority. But then also reading the Bible, looking at stuff on YouTube, looking at, you know, back and forth with someone like John Lennox or William Lane Craig, you know, I think that could be a valuable place just to get the ball rolling, to realise that this is not just experientially transforming, but there's the intellectual basis, there's a historical basis, there's, you know, we have a lot of assumptions in the, I had loads of assumptions about the Bible and what it was, and, you know, I thought it was a fairy tale, but, you know, through having an open mind, I realised that those assumptions were just not based on reality or facts. So I think questioning, being willing to be open to questioning that, this is key.
Thanks so much, Carl. Thank you for coming to be with us, for sharing your story with us, and some of the helpful things that you've had to say. Hopefully we've really enjoyed that tea. Things that Carl has said might resonate both with our own personal stories, but perhaps stories we share with other people as we talk with our colleagues in the workplace about things they're experiencing. Maybe you know for yourself or others who struggle with grief, as your story began. Or maybe it's with the pressures of stress and burdens to succeed here in the city, or just experiences of trying to change and constantly encountering cycles of failure and unsuccessful efforts with those deep-rooted issues within us that we wish were different. If anything has resonated with you, or you think might resonate with those that you might share this recording with, then I'd love to take us to somewhere in the Bible that speaks so much of what Carl has been saying, to go for that starting point of looking into the Bible, seeing what it says about Jesus. So if you want to grab Bibles on the tables in front of you, I want to take us to at the start of Luke's Gospel, one of those accounts of Jesus' life, to see how Luke introduces us to Jesus before he goes on to record all of what Jesus said and did, all of what Jesus offers to the world, to see whether that just shows us something that could persuade us of the truth of all that Carla's been saying. So if you turn to page 1032, which is Luke chapter 1, down at verse 76, this is Luke introducing us to Jesus through a song that is sung about the arrival of Jesus. You'll see in verse 36 that he's described as the Most High. He's called the Lord. And Luke then says, the person singing the song in Luke's account, says that he will come to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. And in giving us that knowledge of salvation, he will give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Because as Carl was sharing, there are so many places we might go looking for peace and direction, for light in the midst of really dark, difficult times, even in our experiences of death. But all those places we might go to, we might have the same experience of Carl of finding that they constantly fall short of really saving us from that deeper problem of our sin. And so as we encounter that, my question is, why not look to Jesus? If he is the one who has come to be the one to bring us the knowledge of salvation, to be that light in our darkness, to show us the way to forgiveness of sins, that is a promise that he's the one to lead us in the way of peace, peace with God, with ourselves, with others, and peace that brings us back into right relationship with our Creator. In so many ways, Carl has shown us in his story the experience of realizing that's not something we can do for ourselves. The weight and depth of our sin is too great. But Jesus, because he's the one who is the Son of God, come to earth himself to live that perfect life in our place, and to give us all that he has done in his perfection, then he's the one who can bring us back into right relationship with God. It's not something we can do for ourselves. Only he is the one who can save. And that transforms life for us now as we encounter that and experience and receive that. But also it brings that promise of eternal life to come forever with God, saved from the judgment our sin deserves. Self-help and so many other things, they can't save us from that problem, both now and eternally, but Jesus is the one who can. And so if things have resonated from today, or you know of those who might hear this and resonate with it, why not be looking to Jesus? To get a hold of a gospel and one of these accounts of Jesus' life that are found in the Bible, and to keep reading further, to read about all that Jesus said and did, to show himself as the one who truly saves us from darkness and death, and does so through the forgiveness of our sins.